Nathan, you can come on down. You just let that run.
Isaiah 55, starting in verse 1. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye which that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near.
Verse 6 again, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Which implies that there is a time when he cannot be found, and there is a time when he is not near. There is a time when you will not be able to find the Lord. It's too late. Verse 7 says this, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's the will of God, to abundantly pardon all who come unto him. I want you to go to Luke chapter 15 now. In Luke chapter 15, we have what's often called a parable. But in verse 11, he starts out, it says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. This is no parable. This is an actual event. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain had filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. He had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. Again, he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Verse 17, it says, and when he came to himself, the Lord gave me a message tonight about repentance. A repentance not to be repented of. A repentance that is wrought by God with godly sorrow. something that is lacking in a lot of conversions today. A broken heart is easy to get. You can break somebody's heart pretty simply. But contrition is something altogether different. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. The world is full of broken hearts. Bars are full of broken hearts. It takes a whole lot more than a broken heart for you to come to repentance. It takes contrition. That absolute abhorring of yourself for what you've done against a holy God. And God will accept nothing less for salvation. Nothing less. No amount of tears on the altar with a broken heart will cause God to come down out of heaven and give a child, teenager, man, woman salvation if there's no contrition. What this man realized is that his father was good. He realized his father was good. Do you think maybe that father had shown him those things while he was there at home? Of course he did. How else would the young man have known that his father's servants are well taken care of? He saw it. He saw it while he was there at home, and it did not faze him. Why? Because there was rebellion in his heart. There was hatred against his father in his heart. There was hatred against his living in his heart. There was hatred against the confining space of the bounds of his habitation that God had put on him. And he had rebellion and hatred for the ones that God had given him. And he said, "You're as good to me as dead. Give me my inheritance now. I'm gone." And so he went. As any good father would do, he let his son go. Why is that a good father? Because that father knew that boy was never going to see it the right way until he was broken and contrite. Until he had burned himself in the far country. Until he had fallen into such gross sin that even eating next to swine, for a Jew, eating next to swine didn't even faze him. He feigned would have filled his belly with a husk. That word feigned has two meanings in your King James Bible. One, it means to fake something. But in this instance, that feigning, he wishes he could have done it. He would have loved to have done that. But he couldn't even do that much. He had to get as low as a Jew could possibly get before his pride would be broken. We're in Luke chapter 15, brother. Some of you in here tonight are sitting here with a heart full of rebellion, full of hatred, full of wickedness, full of sin, full of putrescence, full of Egypt, full of hell, and you don't care. How can I make such a bold statement? Because I was there. How many times does he have to pass by you and shoot a warning shot across your bow and say, "Don't go any farther"? But some of you in here have already gone off into that far country. Your eyes are already fixed on it. Your heart's already set on it. And as soon as you have opportunity, you're gone. Really, what's keeping you here? What's keeping you under the preaching of the King James Bible? What is it? Is it me? Is it your grandma and grandpa? Is it the other ones in the church? Is it the name that you have? Or do you actually want to find this God of Israel? Why? Why do you want to find him so bad? You just remember those Jews that wanted to see God so badly that they would make idols every single time. When they actually got their hands on God, they killed him. And you would do the exact same. The exact same thing. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You got to remember, every single thing that befell this man was of his own doing. He couldn't blame anybody but himself. He couldn't blame the harlots. He couldn't blame the wine. He couldn't blame the riches. Couldn't blame his father. It's his fault. But that's why you come to church day after day, week after week, sit under preaching, go to special meetings, sit under special meetings, sit under evangelists, sit under missionaries, sit under this preacher, sit and read your own Bible. You go through all of that week after week, month after month, year after year, lost. Because in your eyes, it's not your fault. In your eyes, you're justified. In your eyes, you have exactly a good enough reason to settle it in your heart to go another day lost. You haven't come to yourself. In today's vernacular, we'd say he came to his senses. The man woke up. But to be awakened, to be enlightened, to be roused out of a stupor isn't enough. He even said, "I will arise and go to my father." I'll arise. I will arise and go to my father. And you've heard Leonard Ravenhill's spiel on that, or no, it wasn't either. It was Tozer. How, if that's all he ever said, and he never got up out of the swine pit, and he never went back to his father, the old man would have died. The fatted calf would have become hamburger. The ring would have tarnished. The shoes would have rotten. There would have been no merriment, no feast. And he would have died in his sins. It's not enough to see yourself in a pit. No hope. It's not enough to say, "I will arise and go to my father." You actually have to do it. Do you realize that had Abraham believed God when he said, "Go and sacrifice your son. Kill your son Isaac." He believed him. He believed him so much that he was willing to kill him. We get the indication out of Hebrews 11 that he believed that, listen, since he's my only heir and God promised through him, he would resurrect him if I killed him. So he knew, going to the top of that mount, even if he killed him, they were both coming back together. He knew that. But do you realize if he hadn't done it, that would have been no faith at all? We as Baptists do such a great job of making it so simple to get saved. You don't have to do anything. But we take out our responsibility before God. That's to arise, go to the Savior. What does that mean for you? I have no idea. But God's calling to you, come. He's come as far as he's going to go. He's already gone into the depths of hell for you. How much closer do you want him to get? Go to him. Go to him right now. Men of God, please pray. The Holy Ghost is moving in here, and you need to pray. There is coming a day when you will no longer have the Lord there to say, okay, God, I'm ready now. You're going to ruin your life in sin. You're going to come back from that far country with scars. You think that man came back looking the exact way he went? No. It doesn't say how long he was gone, but he aged. You look at people in their 50s, sometimes they look like they're in their 80s because of sin. Sin is a hard life. And you will come back with scars. Don't believe me? There's the door. May God have mercy on your soul. It may just take that for you to believe the word of God. It's what it took for me. I have scars. I have scars so deep. And it was my doing. Mine. Go to Job 33. There be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness. God sent you a messenger tonight. This is a messenger standing before you. I'm trying to show you the uprightness of God and that you have no uprightness before him. Verse 24, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. You've done such a good job establishing your own righteousness in this world that you don't even need God's. You don't need the righteousness that actually contains righteousness. You got so much self-righteousness, it's sick. It's sickening how much self-righteousness you have. Why? Because you don't see anything wrong. You have a hard time even studying. You have a hard time even seeking. You just don't care. You found all those stones that God rooted out. You made a nice pile right back on your heart. Verse 27, he looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right. That's that broken heart. That's that broken heart. I've sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. That's the contrition. I've said it so many times up here that it almost seems like dull words at this point, but I pray God that it breaks through your deaf ears. That contrition, it's finding absolutely no profit in anything you've ever done. No profit. Nothing you have done thus far has profited you. It's only damned you. It's only condemned you. It's only put you in the throes of death. That's it. He commands you to seek, but then he says, there's none that seeketh after me. He humbles himself to look at the things in heaven, let alone the things on earth. And when he comes down and humbles himself to look down on earth to see if there was any that sought after him, he found none. None. But yeah, we're all doing such a great job seeking the Lord. We're so proud of how much truth we have, how wonderful we are, how great our life is, how good our church is, how sound our doctrine is, how holy our music is, how good our dress is. Oh, we're so proud of all of that nonsense. It's filth. It's vile. Those are vain conceits. Your vain conceits are going to send you right straight to hell. Because you have built up conceits in your mind, things that you have convinced yourself of that are true, that are not true. You've built so many doctrines around what other men have said, completely ignoring the plain words of your King James Bible that God gave you from heaven. You have no idea what it is to seek after God. It's about time you fall under condemnation. You find yourself under the wrathful hand of God. You start begging Him for mercy. Because that is the only thing that you have hope for. It's the mercy of God. Mercy. Deserving every single thing that He would ever let befall you. But He says, for my name's sake, I'm not going to do it. So that I will be glorified, I'll withhold judgment. The sooner you see that your benefit in salvation is God being glorified, the sooner you'll be to salvation. If you're born again in here tonight, and you've forgotten that the only reason you have breath is to bring glory to God, you're no different than an infidel. I didn't say you lost your salvation. I said you're acting like one that doesn't have it. And it's sickening to God. It's sickening to Him. Verse 28 says, He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Do you believe that? Do you believe what this King James Bible says to you, that God looketh upon men? That's where we're starting. Do you believe that God looks upon you right now, that He's looking upon you? Or are these just words on a page? Can He see through this ceiling? Or is He on the inside looking out? Seeing you in every fiber of your being, seeing everything about you, every vile, wicked, secret thought in your heart, every imagination that you've planned, every invention that you've made to destroy yourself with, every sneaky thing that you've ever done. Doesn't matter if your mom or your dad or your grandparents know about it or not. God knows. He looketh upon men. But He says, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, do you believe that He'll deliver your soul from going into the pit? Because if you don't believe that, that's exactly where your soul's going to go. But if you believe that, that's not where your soul's going to go. You believe it's the will of God that your soul be delivered from going into the pit? God is in the business of delivering souls. That's what He does. He brings deliverance. We've preached forgiveness so much, that's all people care about. I just want to be forgiven. I just want to be forgiven. Oh God, please forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. God would rather see deliverance wrought in you. Men, God would rather see deliverance from your wretchedness in your life manifested than to hear your holy songs that you sing, and to hear your wisdom that you have, and everything you've done for the Lord, everything you bring for God, everything that you do, everything that you do, everything that you do. Just stop. God would like to see some deliverance manifested. Stop being effeminate. Don't let your pride carry you. That's being effeminate. Don't let your emotions drive the way you speak. That's being effeminate. I'm not saying you're lost, but effeminate people are going to have their place in the lake of fire. I'm not saying you're lost, I'm just saying you're acting like one. Go to 2 Chronicles 33. Second Chronicles 33 and verse 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. And he also observed times, and used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Lost person in here tonight, do you believe that you're wicked? Do you believe that you're wicked? The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. But yet you'll condemn Manasseh for what he did, not seeing you are just like him. Given the right circumstances, you would do the same. Given the right environment, there is no limit to the evil that is in your heart. There is nothing you won't do. Get out of the house long enough and just see. Be alone long enough and just wait and see. Get around the right people and just wait and see. Go to a place in the world where certain things are allowed and just wait and see what's in your heart. God will make the works of the flesh manifest to you. You'll see the vileness that's in you. You'll see the absolute putrescence, the blackness. He showed me. Your eyes in Leviticus. No, Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy 21. Look at verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city, unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. This is what this man could have come home to. This young man that had cursed his mother and father, that had gone out into a far country, that had wasted his life on gluttony and drunkenness, he said, I'll arise and go to my father. Maybe he'll let me be as one of his hired servants. You know what the other option was? Death. He'll either show mercy or he'll kill me. That's what he was going home to. And the father would have had every right to stone him to death. You say, oh, but I'm obedient. Not under your breath, you're not. But I'm honoring and respectful of my elders. Not in your heart, you're not. God has heard those secret whispers of hatred, pride, of rebellion. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. God said, I shall not suffer a witch to live. You got rebellion in your heart? You're as good as dead. Still think you're doing pretty good? Back in 2 Chronicles 33, I'm going to wait for you to get there. Verse 7. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon and his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. What idol have you made that you've put in the house of God? What have you built in your life? What talent that you have that you're claiming as your own? What goodness and great thing that you've done? It's pride, friends. You're so arrogant to bring it into the house of God. God ought to strike you dead right here. You ought never, ever to have an opportunity to walk out those doors. That's the righteous judgment of God. There is no reason by his goodness that you'll ever walk through these doors again. Understand that? Everyone sitting here, there is no reason but the goodness of God that you should ever walk through these doors again to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Verse 8. Neither will I any more remove the foot from Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by my hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. I won't hear it. I know that's conviction, but I won't hear it. I know that's the Holy Ghost. I will not hear it. I know that's the word of God. I'm not going to hear it. Remember, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But what happens when you won't hear the word of God? When you'll come in here and you'll sit down. Now, the one that I'm referring to isn't here tonight. But I've gone to preaching before. And as soon as the preaching started, a phone was pulled out. And the card game was started. refusing to hear the word of God. But that young man claims to be saved. Living in fornication, living in drunkenness, living in wickedness, debauchery, living in rebellion, lying, stealing. Sure sounds like a born-again believer to me. The Lord spake to Manasseh. Didn't even say he used a prophet. Said he spake to him. But he wouldn't hear him. Why won't you hear his voice? Because you did not like to retain God in your knowledge. And you'll do anything you can do to get him out of your knowledge. Verse 11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, bound him with fetters, carried him to Babylon. Sounds like a man that was carried off into a far country to me. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God. I've mentioned this before, and this is something that has stood out to me ever since. There are places in the Word of God where it talks about the people serving the God of their fathers, beseeching the God of their fathers, seeking the God of their father. And then there's also places where it says they besought the Lord their God. When he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Now, he besought the Lord his God, but he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Why? Because he looked back and he saw everything that that God did to his fathers. And he feared. He knew what had befallen him was right and just. So he humbled himself before the God of his fathers. Humbled himself. Now, do you think maybe he could have humbled himself before he was carried away by the thorns and in the fetters? Do you think maybe he could have saved himself a little bit of a hike? The humiliation of being taken out of his country, taken off of his throne. The destruction in his life, the death that would have surely been wrought among his people. Do you think maybe he could have saved himself all of that if he'd have humbled himself before God when God spoke to him? But yet he didn't. Sat there so proud. Serving his gods, loving his wickedness and rebellion. But he had to be placed in affliction before he'd actually see what he really was. Verse 13 says, and prayed unto him. Now, that's where it could end. But God. This God, the righteous judge, that will bring upon any of you hardships worse than you can ever imagine, and be perfectly right and just in doing it. Lost and saved alike. Sometimes we think that just because we're saved, we're invincible. And then nothing bad is ever going to happen. That false gospel that's out there preaches that. Realize God doesn't owe you anything. Not a thing. He has his promises that he'll keep. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. You go in the way of Manasseh, born again believer, you'll still die. Oh, sure, you'll have eternity with him. But oh, what you'll miss. You'll have an inheritance that is incorruptible, but there's an inheritance that can be lost. Understand this. God is God. And this book right here is the only thing he limits himself by. Every promise that he's ever made in here, he keeps. Every promise of judgment, every promise of mercy. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He will lift you up. You have to understand that if you don't humble yourself before Almighty God, the wrath of God abideth on you. You're sitting there in pride. And you are not going to find any one place in this entire King James Bible where pride is ever spoken of in a good light. Oh, you'll find it in the new Bibles. Seriously, search that out. It's sickening. But he prayed unto him, verse 13, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. But he had to be carried away in affliction first. He had to be taken off into that far country. He had to be put in fetters and chains. There's a lot of people sitting behind bars tonight who will never see freedom again. But that's what God had to do to save them. And it just may have been because there was a mother or a father or grandfather or grandmother praying, Lord, do whatever it takes. Save my child. Be careful before you utter those words before God. Because he'll do it. But how better of you to humble your heart before him tonight. To be sick of your way. To be done with your way. Honestly, take a good survey of your life. See how good your way has gotten you so far. You young people in here tonight, talk to any of these gray-headed folks in here, myself included, and they'll tell you just how good our way actually works. It doesn't. You'll come back with scars. You'll come back missing fingers and toes. You'll come back missing parts of you that you thought were solid, that would never leave. You may never pass your way again. It was of the Lord to have us read Isaiah 55 to start. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He had an appointed meeting place for you tonight. And you came. But did you meet with him? Where the word of the Lord is, there is liberty. Jesus Christ is your only hope. and his grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness. More gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. The power of Christ may rest upon me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Now I want to go back to Luke 15. When he came to himself, verse 17, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And as he arose, he came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and sent for the men of the city, and they took up stones and stoned him to death. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him. He had compassion. Why? Because he knew where he came from. He knew the lesson that he had learned there. He saw what had happened to his son while he was there. He said, it's enough. Mercy. 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 Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy as he saved us. It doesn't say out of his mercy. It says according to. That is a matching of units. There's 100 units of mercy. That's how much mercy he got. How much mercy does God have? It's unending. That's how much mercy he shows. He knows everything about you. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've done. He knows what you've said. He knows what you've looked at. He knows what you've taken part of. He knows what you've done to your body, what you've done to others. He knows the fornications. He knows the drunkenness. He knows all of that. But mercy. You realize that mercy still speaks continually? You know what it sounds like? Jesus. Jesus Christ is mercy personified. The Son of God. Do you know how he knows everything that you've done? You're not going to surprise him with anything, because he lived it on that cross. You ever hear of people having their life flash before their eyes in a moment just before they have a near-death experience? One case in particular, a door had failed on an airplane, 30,000 feet in the air. This is a true story. You can look this up and verify it. A door failed. A stewardess got sucked out of the plane. And she survived. Broke every bone in her body when she landed, but she landed in a pond that had just been drained. Mercy of God. When they found her, every bone had been broken. Years in rehab. Never was the same again. But she said her life literally flashed before her eyes. And not just a few memories here and there. She literally remembered every single detail of every single day she ever lived up to that point. And it all played before her as she was falling. There's coming a day when your life is going to flash before your eyes, before the great judge of heaven and earth. And he's going to see everything that he saw when he was made sin for you on the cross. But you'll be seeing it for the first time. Not a thing's going to be hidden. Nothing. Nothing is hidden. He knows it all. And he died knowing it all. And his soul went to your place in hell. When the Father saw the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. He said, "It's enough." His cry went up into that holy temple, and he called him up out, drew him out of many waters. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's the Jesus that died for you. The Jesus that has a life for you that you can't even imagine. There's nothing left for you to do than to come to him and believe. He calls you to come. "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But you've got to labor and be heavy laden before he'll give you rest. You know the difference between labor and work. Don't make me define it for you again. But God wants you to come to him. Stop cleaning things up. Your life on this planet will be easier if you clean things up, but you'll still die and go to hell. You stop looking at pornography, you'll be able to actually hear the word of God a little bit. Your mind will be clear. It'll be clean. You'll actually be able to remember things. You'll actually be able to have a conversation with somebody without lust overtaking you. It's a beautiful thing. It's a glorious thing. Deliverance. You'll still die and go to hell. You come to him with every single soiled rag you can find and cast it at his feet and say, "I know it's not enough. I need you." Do you remember, "If any man say, I've sinned, perverted that which is right, and it profited me not," it'll bring their soul back from the pit. "And their life shall see the light." You can see the light in this life. You can have new life in this life. There's eternity coming. There's the resurrection coming. Get that out of your mind. Look for Jesus. He's the only one that matters. The things that God is stirring up in your heart right now, he's trying to give you repentance. Some of you here tonight may have found some repentance. Some of you here tonight might have not received a thing. This is a message from God. The Son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." Period. That was the end of the sentence. He had planned to say more. But you know what the Father saw? A repentant sinner. While he was yet speaking, while that sinner was yet speaking in his heart, God brought salvation. He shut him up. Maybe God just wants you to stop talking. Maybe you need to study that thing out that says, study to be quiet. You got so much talking. You got something to say about everything. You've got an argument to say about everything. You've got a silly thing to throw in. You've got a smart thing to say. You've got a proud thing to say. Maybe God just wants you to shut your mouth. Be still. Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You know how he's exalted among the heathen? It's when the heathen sitting here tonight exalt him. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling to you and to me. Come home. Come home. That's the message for tonight.